tonight. Slip that in your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me over to the book of Exodus, chapter 39 tonight. Chapter 39, we're getting to the conclusion of Exodus, and when they've completed the house of worship, and here I want to read just the last few verses of this particular chapter, as they bring all the things that they had constructed to Moses, and so that they can put the pieces together and build this house of worship. I don't know about you, but it's always fun to finish a project that you start. Amen? Now, wives, do not elbow your husband about those uncompleted projects in the garage. Amen? All right? If you're not by your spouse, don't do it when you get home either, okay? All right? We're talking about, I like to see things finished. Amen? And this is the completion of a very important project. I mean, imagine. I mean, God does give us tasks to do, okay? He gives us things that he wants us to complete. We ourselves are a building project, and I'm grateful that the promise is that he will complete what he started in you and me tonight. Amen? But stop and think about that for a moment. I mean, it's one thing for us to, you know, finish something and a project or something on the honey-do list that we have. But what happens if God tells us to do something? How much more important is it to complete that task, right? I mean, it's one thing for someone, whether it's an employee telling our children to complete something, but if God tells us to do something and gives us that instruction, how much more important is it that we finish that work? And not only that, but when you stop and think, God gives you the blueprint. He tells you what to do, right? I mean, sometimes you can be given a task and not given the instructions or the blueprint of what to do. You're just told to do a task. But if God detailed everything out for you, I mean, how much more important would that be then to know, well, I better really finish that, right? And then think, well, wait a second, what if he just supplied all the resources too? I mean, he showed his people favor when they were in Egypt just before they were about to leave and go out into the wilderness. And they went and asked of all the Egyptians all the materials that they would need, not knowing when they asked, you know, that was their past wages probably for all the years of slavery that they had endured, and God finally paid them for that. But as they went forth and got out into the wilderness, the aha moment when they realized, oh, wow, all those blessings, all that God gave us, wasn't for us to enrich our lives. It was so that we could erect this tabernacle, this facility for worshiping God. And to realize that God had supplied all that and showed them favor to do that. Pretty amazing. And then when he gave them the instruction on what to build, I mean, gave them the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge, as it says over in chapter 35 at the conclusion of that chapter, the beginning of chapter 36, as he gifted certain individuals to teach or instruct artisans to build each element for worship in the tabernacle, how God supplied all that as well. And the amazing thing is God's still doing that. When he gifts, calls you and me and invites us to do some task for him and gives us the privilege of doing that, commands us even to do it, the amazing thing is he's still the God who supplies, he's still the God who resources, he's still the God who gives precepts and principles by which to do things. And those that are gifted to instruct us and guide us in that, he hasn't changed, amen? And you say, well, we're not building that house of worship, are we? Well, like I said earlier, you know, 1 Peter would tell us, you know, we're living stones being built one upon another, 1 Peter chapter 2, so that we can offer up sacrifices. Well, Pastor Chris, I didn't bring my lamb tonight. No, we didn't. That we're the living sacrifices that we bring. It's you and me, brothers, by the mercies of God. We bring that sacrifice together corporately, but also individually throughout the week. And so we need to realize that. And to realize the blueprint that he gives us, as Paul would tell Timothy over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that every word of God is God-breathed, right? And that scripture that's inspired by God, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that we may be adequate for every good work. And so the work that God has for us, that he's intends for us to do, we need to be faithful to do it. He's made us able to do that. His word enables us to do it. He certainly is the God who gives us everything we have. Amen. I don't think that's changed. Every good and perfect gift still comes from him. Well, we realize that, and you look here, and they've done that. They've brought everything together, and now it's time to bring it together. And it's amazing. Why? Why this building project? Well, stop and think for a moment. When this all began, they were at the foot of the mountain. When we began this study, we were there at Mount Sinai. We were there at the foot of the mountain looking up, and there was thunder and peals of lightning, and the people said, Moses, you go find out what God wants. And he did. And it was there that God gave him all the instructions for worship. Why? So that glorious presence that Moses would experience on the mountain could come down and be among his people. That worship could take place. That God could be with his covenant people that he had called, chosen, and set apart for this. And so that they could approach him. Not in fear, though we should reverence him, amen. But they could draw near, or one intercessor on their behalf could go forward, a priest, a high priest, particularly one day a year, and that they could approach God. It's amazing when you stop and think about that. God desired to dwell among his people. In fact, he would tell them, give them instructions along the way. Hey, make sure you take care of the camp and keep it nice and clean, right? Because when I come, I might walk through the camp, and I want to make sure that everything's clean when I go there. Well, this is where we find that everything's concluded and they've completed everything and the work's completed. So I'm just going to read a short section here, starting in verse 32, and then I'll highlight several things in this chapter. Thus, all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished, and the children of Israel did according to all the Lord had commanded Moses. So they did. And they brought the tabernacle to Moses. Now, they didn't bring the whole thing at one time. They brought the pieces, which together could be put together and be the tabernacle. They brought the tent and its furnishings, its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, the covering of ram skins dyed red, the covering of badger skins, and the veil of the covering, the ark of the testimony with its poles, and the mercy seat, and the table of all utensils, and the showbread, the pure gold lampstand with its lamps, the lamps set in order, all its utensils, and the oil for light, verse 38, the gold altar, the anointing oil, and the sweet incense, the screen for this tabernacle door, the bronze altar, its great grate of bronze, its poles, and all its utensils, the laver with its base, the hangings of the court, its pillar, its sockets, the screen for the court gate, its cords, pegs, all the utensils for the service of the tabernacle, for the tent of meeting, and the garments of ministry to minister in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and his son's garments to minister as priests. According, notice, to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did all the work. Then Moses looked over all the work, and indeed they had done it, as the Lord had commanded. Just so they had done it. And Moses blessed them. It's pretty amazing when you stop and read that. The whole nation of Israel finished the job. Now, we won't read until next week in chapter 40 when they actually erected. And this is not the end of the story by any sense of the imagination. This is just the beginning now where God's presence can come and dwell among his people in this house of worship. And what's fascinating is everybody did their part. And you would stop and think for a moment. I mean, listen, they're in the wilderness. Where do you get the tools? Where do you get the resources? You don't have all the machining stuff, do you, to do all this fine work? Did they make it in the wilderness and then have all the materials that had been provided? And even then, I mean, they're in the desert, y'all. I mean, you stop and think about it. How in the world could they do it with such excellence, such perfection, and be sustained to see the work all the way through? And I think it's just a commitment of God's people to do what God's told them to do and say, God will sustain us and enable us to complete the task. Just do what God has said. And so they all had to do their part each and every day. And who could blame them? Listen, if they didn't finish the job, I mean, stop. I mean, could they really do it with excellence? Yeah, you can. If you put your mind to it. And they did. And so they bring it. All the work was completed. Several times you notice that. Now, it details each individual part, but the whole point is they did everything that was necessary. Nothing was left undone. It wasn't like we just did our best, it was 90%. No. When we come to do, we need to do exactly what God says for us to do and do it thoroughly and do it completely. And when they did, Moses then expected that. And the encouragement of that is, listen, when everybody's just doing their part, man, there's a joy in finishing that work, amen? When we all come together and just say, this is what God, my task that God's given me, I'm just going to be faithful to do what God's told me. I mean, that inspires others around you to do what God's told them to do. Just be faithful. Just do whatever God's gifted you to do, God's empowered you to do, God's supplied for you to do. Just do it. Sounds like a Nike commercial. Yeah, just do it. But God, they do it for the Lord. And they did precisely that. And when he comes, they come and he, of course, inspects it all. Not the tabernacle. He inspects every component, every element of it. And that's even before it's been put up. They brought it. And it's interesting how it's presented there. This facility, it starts, of course, with the tabernacle and different elements of the screens and everything that goes around it. But then the specific furnishings that go within it, all those elements, and then the things that are used on those elements, whether it's the incense or the oil or the showbread, all those things, he inspects each element and the whole thing. And Moses records this for us, that the inspection, that everything was very, very good. Now, there's several things we want to think about as we look at that, because verse 32 gives us the summary of it, right? All the work of the tabernacle, of the tent of meeting, was finished. And so when it says tabernacle and it says tent of meeting, that's important. Those are the same thing. You're just going to see those words used interchangeably when you go through the book of Exodus or perhaps Leviticus and Numbers. The tabernacle is where you meet with God. Now, stop. As I said before, that is significant. The temple of meeting. It's not where we come to church and, hey, how you doing? I'm meeting you, seeing you. That's good to do, amen? Well, who are we here to meet with? The Lord. Don't forget that. When this began, God was on the mountain. Hey, Moses, you bring up the 70 elders. That's all. You tell the people to stay down there, right? No. Now God comes down to his people to be among them. That's significant for us to stop and think about when we go to the house of worship and the gathering and the place of meeting. We're there to meet with God. I mean, that would radically change the way you approach worship, huh? If I said, no, I'm going, that's good to say I'm going to church to see my brothers and sisters in Christ. We should want to do that, especially Hebrews 10 would tell us, right, as we see the day approaching. Let's gather. Let's not forsake the assembling of the brethren together, right? Because we need to encourage one another, stir one another up to good works. What good works? Completing the project God had given us, being faithful with what God has entrusted to us, seeing it through all the way to the end, making sure that we're doing our part, supplying whatever resources and blessings God's given to us so that it can be completed. It's fascinating. It says there, all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished or was completed. This is finality. It's finished through. There's nothing else. There's nothing more needed for worship to take place other than put it together and erect the tabernacle. And they'll do that, but everyone has some influence in this, right? Everybody has something invested in it, some part that they played, because everything came together, all the people of Israel, as it says later, the children of Israel, over in verse 42, the children of Israel did all the work. Wow, what a joy. The project completely done, everything done, and done properly. Because when Moses inspected it, they did everything that the Lord commanded. Now, the inspection process, I wonder what that was like. I started thinking about that today. Anyone who's been in the military, oh, we loved annual inspection. What? Somebody's shaking their head right in front of me. I know. Oh, my goodness. You dreaded it. It was like, oh, my goodness. Here we go. Do you understand? I just thought about that. We had to lay out every piece of equipment. And they could at any moment take a big piece of equipment apart and inspect the little parts of the equipment. And some inspectors were really good at that. And you had to stand there, your soldiers stood there, your platoon stood there, your squad stood there, while they went through your equipment. Or even inspected your uniform. And it was not fun. But Moses is the inspector general, I guess you'd say, right? He's the one that inspects everything. Why him? Well, he was given the blueprint, right? He was the one on the mountain. Everything was instructed to him. He's the one who saw whatever he recorded, right? Because this is a picture. This is what he saw in heaven. Now, something, he's building it on earth. And so he's the only one that has the right, really, to provide this inspection and to go through it thoroughly because he's seen the blueprint. He knows what was instructed to do. And there's some responsibility in that as well. And so he does that. And it's interesting as he does this, because I'm sure he didn't just go, yeah, that looks good. Nah, that looks good. Yeah, we'll accept that. No, I bet he went through it meticulously. Because, man, when you stand in the presence of God and God gives you a responsibility, you want to see that task through. And so he does that. The inspection process begins and he concludes it. And he made sure that all the work was of quality. You've heard of quality control, right? We talk about that sometimes. Some of y'all work in factories and they have somebody who does quality control. They're inspectors. That's what Moses did. He's inspecting the quality. Now, this isn't for some widget, right, on a manufacturing line. This is for the worship of Almighty God and what God demands and what God requires. And so Moses does that inspection process. And as he does that, the work had to be perfect. And Moses was the one who was responsible to ensure that the standards weren't compromised, right? It's just this is a challenge for leadership, no matter where you find it, right? That you ensure, listen, we're not going to do something halfway for a God who went all the way for us, amen? Let's do it right. Let's do it for his glory, and let's do it in a way that brings honor to his name. And so he didn't reject anything. In fact, he found everything in order. And I think it's a testimony not only to the people, but to their faithfulness and to the whole process, whether they donated, gave something, wove it, built it, fashioned it, worked with the metal, whatever they did, whatever they hammered the gold, whatever they poured, laid the bronze out and all that, their desire evidently was as well to please the Lord and bring glory and honor to him. All the components that are listed here, we've already studied those individually. But when it all came together, what's fascinating is they brought it together. And even in bringing it to him, it shows and demonstrates that this tabernacle is not some fixed building, right, with a foundation here and, you know, rebar and steel and everything and walls. No, no, this one's going to be moving. It's brought to him in parts because it's going to be easily taken apart and put back together, because they're not going to stay in the wilderness, beloved. They're going somewhere. And God's going along with them every step of the way. He's going to leave them. What you'll learn is that when God says go, you go. And when God says stop, you stop. And what do you do when you stop? You build the house of the Lord there and you worship. Until the trumpet sounds and it's time to move out. And then you go. And that's for us too. Whatever God may have us to do, let's be faithful to complete that task. I love to say it in the Riverwalk class. Let's bloom wherever we're planted. Amen? All right? Be all there. Bloom where you're planted. And when God says time to move, let's move. And one day that trumpet is going to sound. But that movement's not going to be to another place here. It's going to be a movement up there. And that's what we should be looking for. And just being found faithful, because we want to hear that commendation like we heard on Sunday, right, from Matthew chapter 25. Well done, good and faithful servants. Because that's whose we are. We're his, we're responsible to him, and we have to be found faithful with that. And so my encourage to you is just do that. Live for the blessing and favor of God. That's what they got at the end. Did you notice that over in verse 43? Moses looked over all the work, and indeed, they had done it as the Lord had commanded, just so. They had done it. And I love this part. I underlined it. And Moses blessed them. What did he say? Well, it doesn't say specifically here. We know over in the book of Numbers that God did give instruction to Moses about how the priests should bless the people. If we took that as a principle, perhaps some guidelines of the type of blessing that was pronounced upon the people, the Aaronic blessings. It says over there, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you shalom, peace. Wouldn't you want God's favor on you? Wouldn't you want God smiling on you? Wouldn't you want God's hand upon you to be gracious to you, to give a reward? That's his nature. He's benevolent, omnibenevolent, always good. He has rewards. Everybody who comes to him has to believe that he is. And he rewards those who seek him, as Hebrews, Paul tells us in chapter 11 of Hebrews. May his face be upon you, and may you experience his peace. What's fascinating is as this is completed, it's a reflection in some ways of the completed work of God over in the book of Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth and everything that fills them. And you see over there that when it was all done, that what did he enjoy with Adam? The first thing he enjoyed with man was a day of shalom, rest. And that's what the Aaronic priest was, what blessing would be about. that the Lord's face would smile towards you and give you peace. Give you, and you know what? There is a peace when you do what God tells you to do, and you obey, and you build as he says build, and you don't do it half-heartedly, halfway, but you give all you got because you realize, man, he gave it to me anyways. And so may that be our prayers. As we think about worship and completing the task God has given us and the responsibility that we have, and realize, listen, we're all building a house of worship. It's not here just on Chipley Ford Road. It's actually wherever we go. It's right here. All right? So let's be faithful with this building project so that real, authentic worship can take place with the one true God everywhere we go. Amen? Well, let's pray tonight. Father,